Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two men entered God's presence from vastly different backgrounds and with vastly different experiences of God. The one is from the church crowd. The other wouldn't be caught dead in a church building. The one has dedicated his life to God. The other has lived opposed to God his entire life. The one knows all the right words. The other does not know what to say to God. But which is which? In our reading today, we see a Pharisee who comes before God and prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I get. He is above average as far as worshipers in God. He is standing here highlighting how great he is. He fasts twice a week. That's the standard for the Pharisees, but it is above average for normal Jewish people at the time. He tithes on everything he gets, which all of the Pharisees would actually do. Jesus says in Matthew 23 that the Pharisees would tithe mint and dill and cumin. I couldn't imagine having to be on our board of stewardship and having to count all of the little leaves of mint. But the Pharisees would tithe everything they got down to the smallest herb. He is so much better than that nasty, filthy, stinking tax collector. He don't need no stinking forgiveness, unlike that nasty tax-collecting sinner. And so Jesus says that man, the Pharisee, is not justified. That is, he is not forgiven and placed in a right relationship with God. Now, to be justified means to be put right, to be correctly aligned. When a document is justified, that means that the text is aligned perfectly with the left and right margins of the page. And so to be justified simply means to be aligned with God. And Jesus says that the Pharisee is not justified with God because he is not seeking forgiveness, but instead is exalting himself over the tax collector. It's a good thing we're not like that. It's a good thing we don't exalt ourselves over anyone else. We're good Christians. We don't do that. But wasn't that exactly what the tax collector was and who he was? He thought he was the good Jewish man, and he thought that he was in the right. No one is immune to the impulse of comparing. We compare our houses, we compare our cars, we compare the dimensions of our televisions, and of course, we compare our kids' success. My son is a big city lawyer. Well, my son is a big city doctor. My son may be a bum, but at least he's not in jail like your son. We make comparisons with everything. And yet, when we compare everything else, of course, we have that same impulse to compare our faith to those around us. I serve my church on 18 different boards and am active in no less than 3 different ministries. I give a full 10% to the church and then some. Well, I personally support the entire mission of a national organization. Unfortunately, none of these comparisons to those around us help in any way, shape, or form. These comparisons are fraught with problems. I can't compare myself to you or my faith to yours because I don't know. What I consider evidence that I am better than you may not be the case at all. You may be the same, if not better. Ultimately, comparing to other people is comparing apples to oranges. What's good for me is not good for you, and vice versa. But even if those comparisons did work, even if you could say, like that Pharisee, that you were better than those around you, the point of comparison is still off. In God's eyes, it really does not matter if you are better than those around you. God doesn't grade based on that. God doesn't grade on a curve. The point of comparison is not with other people. It is with God and with God's standards of holiness. And by God's standards, we're all sinners. We are all sinners. None of us worship God as we ought. None of us return thanks to Him as we ought. None of us keep His law like we ought. We are all fallen sinners in God's eyes. It doesn't matter that this person is a worse sinner than me. I am still a sinner. And the tax collector understands this. Instead of comparing himself to anyone else, after all, he knew he could not measure up to anyone around him. The tax collector simply looks at God's standards and says, I am a sinner. Instead of standing before God on the basis of his own actions, he beats his breast in contrition. Instead of thanking God for what he is not, he pleads forgiveness for what he is. He knows that he has sinned by charging people more for their taxes than they owe. He knows that he has sinned by lying and stealing. He knows that he does not have a leg to stand on before a righteous and holy God. And so between these two attitudes, that of vain comparison and that of pleas for mercy, who is now in a right relationship with God? The one who is justified and in that right relationship is not the one who thought he had no need for justification. It didn't matter who he was. It didn't matter that the Pharisee was seemingly more holy and righteous than anyone else. He was comparing his own filthy rags to the filthy rags of another and calling great attention to the fact that his filthy rags had a bare spot. The one who is justified is not the one who thinks he doesn't need it. It is the one who repented of his sins and sought forgiveness from God. It didn't matter what his sins were. It didn't matter that he was seemingly more corrupted and sinful than anyone else. It only mattered that he sought repentance. Vain comparisons do not justify. It is God who justifies a repentant sinner. We are not justified because of what we do. We are justified because of trust in what he did. God sent his son to live a perfect life. Jesus was the only one who ever had no need for justification because he was already in that right relationship. God's sinless Son died a sinner's death. He died the death that was meant for us so that we would not have to die. The sinless one was buried in the ground. He was returned to the same ground that we come from, and which we are no better than that ground because of our sins. And so because of what God has done for us, that is why we are justified in his sight. He no longer sees any of our sins. He only sees Jesus. The Pharisee and the tax collector both entered God's presence in the temple wearing the filthy rags of their sins, as Martin Luther would describe it. The Pharisee looked over at the tax collector, and he saw that his rags were stained by years and years of wallowing in the muck and sewage. He saw that his own rags had been brushed off the previous night, and none of the caked-on mud was still there, just the discoloration. He was content to leave God's presence in the knowledge that at least his filthy rags aren't as dirty as someone else's. But the tax collector knew just how filthy his rags were. He approached God in humility and contrition. He begged for God's mercy and forgiveness. And God took away his filthy rags, bathed and scrubbed him to remove all the caked on filth and muck, and then clothed him in new white robes. The tax collector left God's presence not covered in grime and dirt, but wrapped with God's righteousness, purer and whiter than any bleach could make cloth. The tax collector was truly justified before God. We also approach God wearing filthy rags of our sins. We also are covered with dirt and mud and who knows what else. At the beginning of our worship service, we approach God in humility and contrition, begging for his mercy and forgiveness. And God washes us. In holy baptism, he washes away all the filth of our sins and clothes us in the new white robes of Christ's righteousness. In holy absolution, he cleanses us and washes away our sins once more. And then God offers to us the first fruits of his field, his own son's true body and true blood, which strengthen us to leave his presence and serve him as his justified people, righteous and holy in his sight. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.